to WXDR Newark, listener-supported radio from the University of Delaware, 91.3 FM. Now on Scratchy Grooves, another program featuring My Favorite Songs. The my in the My Favorite Songs being Lou English, a steady listener to Scratchy Grooves for a number of years. Coming up in just a couple of seconds.
Get out those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago. What if they sound scratchy? The tunes really were catchy, and especially those that said, I love you so. I used to beg you over and over just to set the wedding day. To get you courtable, I'd bring my portable and melt your heart away. With all those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago.
Yes, Lou English is one of the listeners to Scratchy Grooves that sent in a list of their favorite songs. And tonight we're going to have him telling you why they're his favorites, or at least talking about them to some extent. Lou, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bill. Always glad to be here.
That's right. Lou's been on here before helping me out with Radiothon, and so it's not a new experience for him. He's becoming quite an old radio hand. Have to keep you on regularly, Lou. All right, first song, Harbor Lights by Sammy Kaye. Tell me about the Marcus Hook incident.
Oh, that happened about 46 years ago, Bill, and it was 1946, just about this time of year. And I was in the Merchant Marine. I was an able-bodied seaman on this tanker. And we were
during the war, right?
Yeah, during the war.
And remember that old war?
I liked it, and I stayed in for a couple of years after the war.
Uh-huh.
So we were tied up in Marcus Hook pumping out a load of oil we brought from Venezuela. Hmm. And I came down to Wilmington, make a quick trip down here, and I went back on the bus. Shore leave was up at midnight, and we were due to sail at 1 o'clock in the morning. And as I got off the bus in Marcus Hook, there was a couple of my shipmates standing on the corner, so we started walking back down to the dock, down, I think it's Terminal Avenue that runs from the street in Marcus Hook all the way down to the docks.
Uh-huh.
And there are taverns, or there were in those days, four or five on the right side of the street and two or three on the left. And at the end of the street, where it ends in a big circle, was a tavern known as Gold Tooth Mary's.
You've got total recall.
Yeah. Well, it was known to every sailor on the tankers all over the world, I guess.
And so was Mary, I
guess. So was Mary. She was a nice gal.
All right.
And I think we stopped and had a beer at one of the places, and then we got down to Gold Tooth Mary's, which was the end of the street, and it was only about 20 feet to the refinery gate. So we went in, and the place was jumping. I mean, it was jumping, and it was full of a crew off of my ship.
Yeah.
And one of them was passed out in a booth, and about four or five of them were really under the weather. I mean, they were groggy. They didn't know where they were.
All right.
And the rest of them were in pretty good shape. So I sat there for a few minutes. It was getting on. I was due to go and watch at midnight myself, besides being due back at the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So I, as it got to be about a quarter to 12, we said, we got up and we said, we went around and tried to get them to go with us. No. So we went on back to the ship, and we came up the gangplank, and the chief mate was there with a clipboard. And the skipper was marching up and down the bridge just cussing a blue streak. And so the mate says, we're short. He says, have you seen any of these men? And we said, they're all Gold Tooth Mary's.
Uh-huh.
I said, we tried to get them to come, but they wouldn't come. So the captain says, how many men you got down there, chief? And he says, we got about 8 men here. He says, are they sober? He says, they're pretty good shape. He says, sell them to go back up and get those men, and I don't care how he gets them, how they get them, but I want them back here, and I'll give them a half an hour. So We turned around and we were laughing, and we went back up there. And somebody must have put about $2 worth of nickels in the jukebox, because it was playing Harbor Lights over and over and
Harbor
over
Lights.
Again. So we two of the guys grabbed and carried the guy that was passed out, and two of us got on each side of the other guys that were wobbling, and we marched back through the moonlight and with a strange of Harbor Lights fading away.
And so that's why
I laugh every time I laugh. You'll see me grin every time I hear that song, because I'll never forget that. And we got him back to the ship.
Well, good. You can start grinning. Here it is, Lou.
Sammy Kay.
I saw the harbor lights. They only told me we were parting. The same old harbor lights.
Yeah.
That once brought you. The silvery sea. I long to hold you here and kiss you just once more. But you were on the ship and I was on the shore. Now I know lonely nights for all the
from 1928, and you told me on your letter that this almost drove your father crazy. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, well, my mother loved Gene Austin, and she had several of his records, but she couldn't play that one when my father was home, because the garage he had at that time, his office was next to an alley, and at the end of the alley, about 20 feet away, lived a woman and a small child, and that's I think the woman was not all quite there, you know. I saw her a couple times, and she scared me. I was real small. But anyway, she had this, I guess, this one record of Carolina Moon, and she played it 24 hours a day. And, of course, no air conditioning. My father had his office windows open. He was trying to work the bills out, and it just drove him mad, you know. And I think he finally got the cops and...
Oh, yeah.
Had him go see her and try to get it away from her, give him another record or something. But but he couldn't. Oh, he just went livid with it.
Yeah,
it was.
Well, a lot of people do that sort of thing and drive me back.
I guess you hear it. She said she played it you know, just kept playing it over and over and over.
We're out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mine is worn out. I think this is probably an LP version. It may be a little better. Gene Austin, 1928, and the song that drove Lou Inglis's father crazy. Not really. Carolina Moon.
The moon was shining bright in Carolina. The night we said goodbye so tenderly. And now that I'm away from Carolina, won't someone tell the moon again for me?
Gene Austin, of course, Carolina Moon. We're talking with Lou English, a Scratchy Grooves listener who sent in a list of songs. Pretty good music tonight. Things that I like, too. Lou and I, our taste is somewhat similar. I don't know why that is. Couldn't be the fact that we're about the same age, could it, Lou?
Yeah, just about, I guess. I'm still a little older, though.
Yeah. Here's a song by the Brox Sisters coming up next. And Lou, why did your mother scuttle this record?
Well, I wasn't going to school yet, so I was pretty young. I must have been maybe four, five, probably. We had a wind-up Victrola that sat on the sideboard in our living room, and we had a stack of records about close to a foot high, I guess, next to it. Mm-hmm. So I would climb up on a chair and wind the handle hung over the edge of the sideboard, and I'd wind the Victrola up and I'd play it. And somehow or other, I learned how to pick out the records that I liked. I don't know whether my sisters taught me just to read the names on them or what, but I could pick them out. So anyway, one day I ran across this record and Red Hot Mama, and I put it on, and I was playing it, and I liked it. And all of a sudden, my mother came in and snatched it off the Victrola and said, very sternly, "I don't want to ever hear you playing that again."
I can understand that.
Yeah, you know, and an innocuous little record like that, you know. Nowadays you could play it in a first grade school or Sunday school. But she put it back in the stack. Well, I noted where she put it, and because I knew my life would be forever blighted if I didn't hear that record again. So she could drive, so she went out one day shortly after that and left me in the care of my sister, who was making a cake in the kitchen or something, not paying attention. So I snatched the record out of the pile, and I put it on, and, man, I played it till the needle smoked. I must have played it 5 or 6 times. But my mother came back before.
Uh-oh.
I expected her, and she caught me.
Oh, my.
And she snatched the record off, and I don't know whether she hit me or not. She didn't ever. I was a pretty spoiled kid. She never hit me, but...
Well, you were a budding music lover.
The record disappeared from the face of the earth. I never saw it again until I never heard it, I don't think, until I heard it on your program. And I wrote you my first letter saying, telling you the story of that thing.
Well, that was, how many years?
Quite a few years ago.
5 or 6 years ago.
Anyway. Yeah.
Well, fine.
But I like that record.
Here are the Brock Sisters for all you music lovers out there. And it's okay. You can leave the sound up and your mother won't do anything. The Brock Sisters, Red Hot Mama.
Record, but I guess she didn't because I've still got it. Red Hot Mama, the Brock Sisters. All right, tell me about Manhattan Beach.
Well, that's when I went to the training for the Merchant Marine. That was in, I went up there in April of 43 and was there April and May. Until May, I think I left May the 30th, and they sent me out to, sent 40 of us out to San Francisco. And I was there for a couple of weeks, and then they sent asked for 10 volunteers, and we went up to... up the coast a ways, and shipped out.
Manhattan Beach is on Long Island.
Yeah, it's on Long Island. There's
this was a Merchant Marine training station.
Merchant Marine training station. There was a the Brighton Beach Coast Guard training station was right next door to us, and then Coney Island was first in line. It ran Coney Island, Brighton Beach, and then Manhattan Beach, uh-huh. And that's where they. There's a college now there now where our training station was.
And this is something that the band played
a lot? Oh, they played this at least, I guess every day I was there.
They did. It was sort of there.
Yeah, it was Manhattan. Yeah.
All right, well, let's hear a Manhattan Beach March. I've got it here on a Nickelodeon. I know you're a late Nickelodeon fan.
Oh, yeah.
You're doing a Nickelodeon record here. I've got a couple tonight, as a matter of fact. Manhattan Beach March.
Beach March, played by a Nickelodeon. We're on the air here with Lou English, a friend of mine and a friend of Scratchy Grooves for many years. All right, the next song on your list is Roses of Picardy. I've also got a Nickelodeon version of that. This is from the Mechanical Music Center at Darien, Connecticut, which has a huge collection of these mechanical music machines, as I understand it. All right, you said that a friend of yours played this at a bar piano. Surely you didn't go into a bar when you...
Oh, I'm afraid I did. Don't anymore, but time was I did.
Well, you were a young whippersnapper then, I
guess. Yes, I was working my first job, and I was 17, and there was another guy there who was 17, and the rest of the guys were, six or seven of them, they were in their 20s, and so we got to running around with them, and they were going in bars. And, of course, there were a couple of older fellows, too, but...
He didn't play that on a player piano, man.
No, his name was Bill Little, and he was a pretty good friend. He worked right next to me, around the machine next to me on mine, and we got to be pretty good buddies, and every time he went in a bar with his piano, he would sit down and play Roses of Picardy, and then he...
Is that the only song he could play?
No, I don't know. He liked Sunrise Serenade. He could play that.
Oh, yeah.
But... when the war came along, he went in the Army Air Force and was killed in a training crash. They were training him to be a rear turret bomber, tail gunner. He was small, a little guy and light, and he was killed in a plane crash in Colorado.
Well, let's play this for him. Thank you. Roses of Picardy, Nickelodeon version. All right, Lou, this is interesting. I think it's interesting. Why people like the particular songs that they do has always amazed me. Why one particular song that may be pretty innocuous will bring back memories and even tears to some people is surprising. It does to me, too. Some songs that I hear that affect me very much emotionally. And it's good to have you here and talk about these old things.
That's why I get... I like all kinds of music, even some opera. But the World War II music, I can listen to it for a while, but I don't... It brings back... to me, I lost... As I told you, I lost six friends in World War II, and...
Yep, I know exactly what you mean. And there are some songs that I don't play on
and that brings back to
the show hours. Because tears get into the microphone. Okay, It Ain't Gonna Rain No More, Wendell Hall of 1923. You said we all sang this when you were very young.
Yes. They tell me I could sing it when I was 3 years old. I was one of these kids that they, bratty kids that they teach songs to and they have to show off. So I was told.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But my sisters were teenagers when I was 6 or 7 years old. They were older than me. So they were going around singing it constantly and making up new verses and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it was a very popular song.
Yeah, I remember this one, too. It's one that I used to try to sing. I'm no singer, but I used to try to sing this song. Wendell Hall, 1923, Ain't Gonna Rain No More.
It was dark and dreary, and the air was full of sleet. Well, the old man stood out in the storm, and his shoes were full of feet. Oh, it ain't gonna rain no more, no more. It ain't gonna rain no more. But how in the world can the old folks tell? It ain't gonna rain no more. Well, a butterfly flits on wings of gold, the June bug wings of flame. The bed bug has no wings at all, but he gets there just the same. Oh, it ain't gonna rain no more, no, no more, no, no, no more, no, 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 no more. How in the world can the old folks tell? It ain't gonna rain no more. Oh, the city fly high. Old Mosquito, he fly low. If old Mr. Skeeter light on me, he ain't gonna fly no more. Oh, it ain't gonna rain no more, no more. Weedy, mew, 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 weedy, mew. How in the world can the old folks tell? Ain't gonna rain no more. Well, a full frog sitting on a lily pad, looking up at the sky. Oh, the lily pad broke and the frog fell in, got water all in his eyes. Oh, it ain't gonna rain no more, no more. How in the world can the old folks tell? Ain't gonna rain no more. Well, here's a verse about a man and a trombone. Well, the words to it are for you. He blew, he blew, he blew, he blew. He blew, he blew, he blew. Oh, it ain't gonna rain no more, no more. No, no. Oh, 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 oh. How in the world can your folks tell? Ain't gonna rain no more. Well, a man lay down by a sewer, and by the sewer he died, he died. And at the coroner's request, they called it suicide. Oh, it ain't gonna rain no more, no more. Oh, Lord, ain't gonna rain no more. How in the world can the old folks tell? Ain't gonna rain no more. A little black and white animal out in the woods, I says, ain't that little cat pretty? I went right over to pick it up, but it wasn't that kind of a kitty. Oh, it ain't gonna rain no more, no more. It ain't gonna rain no more. But how in the world can your folks tell? It ain't gonna rain no more. No more, no more, no more.
for me that sweet melody called a doodly-doo, a doodly-doo. I like the rest, but what I like best is a doodly-doo, a doodly-doo.
Request time again. Simplest this week for Marge. Give my regards to Broadway. This is by Billy Murray from 1904.
I love it so. Wherever I go, I just doodly doodly do.
Back to 1904 for that one. It sounded like it, too, didn't it? Billy Murray, Give My Regards to Broadway. That's from George M. Cohan's song Little Johnny Jones. Of course, it was a very popular song during the First World War, but it was written, 1904. That's 10 years before the war broke out. If you have a favorite song, I'd be glad to play it for you here. Give me a call at 831-2701, and I'll get it on for you next week. 831-2701. Now, back to Lou English and his memories of some of the songs he likes best. Here's a Jimmy Rogers tune coming up, Lou. Blue Yodel number one. There are probably 25 or more Blue Yodel records that he made. This is the first one. What can you tell me about that, other than the fact that you liked it in Texas?
That's T for Texas?
Yep.
Well, that's just, my sister had the record, and she had a little wind-up patrol on. And it used to, you know, in the
early 30s there, why, there wasn't anybody, any other Western singer but Jimmy Rogers in Texas. I mean, just, he was it.
Right. Jimmy Rogers.
And so.
The singing brakeman, right?
The singing brakeman, that's right.
Okay. Blue Yodel number one. Here we go.
You sure don't have to stop.
Lord, Lord.
you don't want me, mama, you sure don't have to stall. Cause I can get more women than a passenger train can haul. Just as long as I'm tall, I'm gonna shoot for Selma just to see her jump and fall. Oh, lady, lady, oh, lady, I'm going where the water drinks like cherry wine. Sing 'em, boy, sing 'em. The water drink like cherry wine, cause the Georgia water tastes like turpentine. Oh, lady, lady, oh, lady. I'm gonna buy me a shotgun with a great long shiny barrel. Gonna buy me a shotgun with a great long shiny barrel. I'm gonna shoot that rounder that stole away my gal.
There he goes, Lou. Jimmy Rogers, down the track.
Well, he was popular then, and he's still popular in certain quarters. And,
oh, yes. A lot of people collect Jimmy Rogers records. Oh, yeah. If you got any Jimmy Rogers records, they're worth some money, aren't they?
You're doggone right.
Not to me. I've got about enough, I think. But a lot of people collect them. All right. The next song on your list, Lou, is Rudy Valley's Honey from 1929.
Well, that brings back a memory from my young days. We used to go... Usually used to go to the movies on Sunday night. Not every week, but...
Sunday? We were going on Saturday.
A couple times a month. And we'd go to this theater called The Rex, and it was 10 cents for adults and nickel for children under 12.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I suppose being Sunday in those days, they wouldn't allow them to open until 6 o'clock. Because we would have to wait. We'd go in town, and we'd have to wait. And they would play this Honey. I don't know whether they had any other record or not, but they never played anything else.
While you were waiting for the
movie. While we were waiting, they would start the record playing, and they would play it, and then pretty soon the ticket office would open, and we'd go in.
Okay, let's go back to those days and listen to Rudy Valley with Honey.
Thank you. with you, honey. Say you love me too, honey. No one else will do, honey. Seems funny, but it's true. Loved you from the start, honey. Bless your little heart, honey. Every day would be so sunny.
In your hand. Lou tells me that everybody who worked at that theater had one eye.
That's true.
You're kidding.
Everyone.
The projectionist would have a little trouble with one eye, I think, getting right to focus. Reminiscing with Lou English tonight on Scratchy Grooves. Here's another of his favorite songs coming up, Ted Weems' Piccolo Pete. And the memory here goes back to the fact that your sister worked at a 5 and 10, you tell me.
Well, she just worked for the Christmas season, and it must have been the year, when did it come out, 29?
Yeah,
must have been that
29,
year.
Yeah.
She was, I don't know how old she was then, but she got a job working during the Christmas season. She was all excited, and so we went downtown to see her at her job, and she was handling the record department.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, you got to hear this new tune called Piccolo Pete. And she put it on the machine and played it for us. And I never forgot that, because I was really impressed to see her standing there taking money.
Well, this may have been the record, but it was recorded by a number of other people. Here's Ted Weems on Piccolo Pete.
Now I'll put you wise, that's a bird in disguise, a bird called Piccolo Pete. On his piccolo, huh? No? Well, you've missed a lot, cause he surely has got style that's hotter than hot. Did you ever hear Pete go tweet, tweet, tweet on his piccolo? No? Well, you've missed a treat, cause his melodies sweet aren't the kind that could be beat. He can pick a high note, he can pick a low note, he can pick a blue note, he can pick a note that's a brand new note. Did you ever hear Pete go tweet, tweet, tweet on his piccolo? No? Well, I put you wise, he's a bird in disguise, a bird called Piccolo Pete. Did you ever hear Pete go on a piccolo? No. Did you ever hear a beat go on a tickle? No. Did you ever hear Joe go whoop, whoop, whoop on his old bass horn? There. Did you ever hear Dick do some of his tricks on his little peck horn? Well.
Piccolo Pete, Ted Weems. Okay, moving right along here. You got to see your mama every night. You wanted that by Sophie Tucker. I don't have it. I'm going to play Matty Matlock's version. What's the memory here, Lou?
Well, one ship I was on for quite a while in the war, we had a donated Victrola that was bolted to the deck in the mess hall, and had a bunch of old records. You'd have loved them.
Sorry, I wasn't there.
And one of them was this, and I think I was the only member of the crew probably that played those old records.
They used to maybe look the at only me, one that knew how.
They used to look at me really weird, you know.
But the crank on the side.
But this one, well, You Gotta See Mama Every Night was one that I really liked, and it was by Sophie Tucker. I remember that.
Well, I'm sorry I don't have Sophie. I'll look for it. I thought I had it and couldn't find it. Here's Matty Matlock.
I used to play that every day.
Well, let's go back in time then to that ship. And the old ship's Victrola had bolted to the deck. You gotta see your mama every night. Matty Matlock. song high on Lou English's memory list. Okay, here's another Jimmy Rogers tune. In a Jailhouse Now. Anything particularly significant about that, Lou?
Well, my sister had that record, too, my older sister. She had she loved Jimmy Rogers, and and we used to sing that around the house there.
Yeah, well, Lou is from Texas, and Jimmy Rogers, I guess, was a minor god in Texas in those days.
Yeah, sort of a minor god, yeah.
Yeah, and very popular still today with a lot of people. Jimmy Rogers, In the Jailhouse Now.
Steal and gamble. He tried everything that was low down. He was out tomcatting one night when he started a big fight. Then a big policeman came and knocked him down. He's in the jailhouse now. He's in the jailhouse now. I told him over again to quit drinking whiskey, lay off of that gin. He's in the jailhouse now.
Jimmy Rogers had a gentleman call and say that Jimmy Rogers' voice reminds him of Bob Dylan. And there is a resemblance. Jimmy Rogers. Okay, Lou, I have Obray Ramsey for Lonesome Road Blues, the next number on your list. Don't have any Vernon Dalhart. Sorry about that. Lonesome Road Blues, another song from your Texas days, I bet.
Yeah, that's another one. I used to hear down there all the time. We used to sing it.
Okay, let's hear it again.
Thank you.
That's going to have to do it for tonight. That's Aubrey Ramsey playing Lonesome Road Blues. A lot more songs on the list, Lou. I'm afraid we didn't get time to play them all.
Well, I've enjoyed it.
Well,
I don't know what anybody else did.
I'm glad you have. I hope people have. Didn't get many phone calls tonight. I always take that as people are more into the listening mode than the talking mode. They're probably listening to you and just couldn't shut the radio off.
They're probably making torches to attack the station.
I appreciate your coming on the program, and have to have you back sometime and play the rest of your list, or maybe there'll be another list you can make up, okay? All right. Thanks again, and thank you for listening, all you out there. Scratchy Grooves comes to you every week, every Sunday at 7 o'clock. I'm Bill Chambliss. Appreciated you having you along for this ride, and I'll see you next Sunday. Stay tuned now for Neil Payne, coming up right after this.